Okay. Well, we're still waiting on a couple people to sign in, but it's almost 5 past, so I think we should probably get started. I want to welcome you here tonight. I'm Blondin Linden. I'm part of the community team here at Linden Lab, and I've been the one who's been organizing these brown bags. Just a couple of quick notes before we begin. Troy will be recording the sessions, and we'll be making an audio transcript available after the meeting. I just wanted everyone to be aware of that before we started, just that there aren't any questions. I would like to point out and have people remember that we are continuing to support and continue an open platform in Second Life. So the idea is to create a third-party viewer registry. The determiners for this have not been decided yet, and that's sort of why we're here. So the purpose of this meeting is to engage in a conversation with you and sort of discuss and define the appropriate uses. So keep in mind that there is no policy, and we just sort of want to hear your thoughts and your concerns and your opinions. So if you have any questions during this, please IM them directly to me, and I'll ask them out loud. We ask that everyone behaves in a professional manner, so please respect everybody and respect their opinions. Try not to shout or argue. And with that, I think we can throw it to Jessica to start us off.
Hi, everybody. First, I just want to thank everybody for participating in this, and big thanks to Blondin for setting everything up. And as Blondin mentioned, we're here to get feedback about a new feature that we're going to do. It's the third-party registry, and we described it in a blog post. I don't have the link offhand, but I'll grab it for you after we get started. And we're really here, and there's a bunch of us Lindens here to listen in and have a conversation with y'all. But the primary thing is I'd like to hear more both about how you're using third-party viewers, what kind of things that you consider when you're choosing one, what kind of features you're using, what kind of things you'd want to know before downloading one that we could maybe provide in a registry, and then really just give you a chance to ask some questions. And the way we'll do that later is I'll go through and pull some. I want to really pick your brains for a bit, and then we'll have an open QA, and Blondin will be moderating. So if you think of any questions while we're talking here, please do send them over to him, and we'll use that to kick off the QA section. And you know, again, we're here to get feedback. And the first question, and you can either type it if you're not in voice, or one at a time, we'll go around. I really want to know more about what third-party viewers you're using or helping create, especially what features are you using, which ones are you using like every day and you can't live without, and then a little more information about the feature and why you're using it and how you're using it. And go.
I have to go at once. I've been using Emerald because I run an Acer laptop, and it's less taxing on my system. But the other thing is that the Emerald developers have agreed to some of the other create a new that would help.
It sounded like your push to talk just wasn't down or something. Any features in particular, or if not, anyone else? Okay. Anything else from Tenchi or anybody else? What features are you using? Oh, there she goes. So Tenshi is saying that she uses Emerald because her laptop doesn't handle Second Life, the one in LabViewer, and the Emerald devs are working with Artist Voice and taking community input for new features to combat content theft. And that we're poking around and trying different things. One thing that was proposed with a virus checker-like feature that scans your inventory for legit content. But that was vetoed. Okay, I just wanted to read it out loud for the transcript there. Anybody else? What features are you using that aren't currently available in the official Linden viewer, and how are you using them?
Thomas is saying that he's having trouble connecting to voice.
Hi, this is me, Rebel. I really don't use any outside viewers because I'm a bit afraid to. I have experimented with Emerald, but I really have been kind of afraid to use them. I have seen the bad parts of Neolife. In fact, I had a situation just on Friday where I watched a guy take my stuff and followed him home and watched him res all my stuff full perm. So I really have a negative thing about third-party viewers. I know Emerald is pretty safe, and I've talked to the guys there, but still just a little sketchy about using them.
Rebel, can you talk a little bit more about why you feel safe with him?
With Emerald?
Mm-hmm.
I think because so many of my designer friends and people that I know are using it, and they seem to be very comfortable with it. I was scared, actually, to log on to it with Rebel, so I used an alt to do it. I think I'm just really a little gun-shy because of all of the theft that's personally happened to me. I think that one of my concerns was that an outside viewer could take information such as my password and things like that and gain access to my account. So that's been one of my biggest concerns. But I've been assured by Fractured Crystal that does not happen, and they don't have any, intent to do anything like that. So I may venture out with Rebel to try it.
Thanks,
Valiant.
Go ahead.
Oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Valiant had a comment. He raises his hand.
Thank you. Pretty much everything on the Emerald tab of the options is useful. The building tools, the chat tools. I'm a huge fan of encrypted chat. I know that's potentially a separate conversation, but the option to speak in an encrypted fashion with, especially with business partners, and especially as SL is moving towards the business community with the offering of the enterprise platform, I think there are going to be a lot of small to medium-sized businesses that type of functionality built in is a real plus.
Thanks, Valiant. Is that how you're using the encrypted chat now? Is for business stuff?
Absolutely.
And is that with your own team, or is that with a customer? Or?
That's both internal as well as with associates who run Emerald. In fact, I just recently, this past week, said to a number of people, I'd really love to talk to you about this, but we either need to do this on the phone or we need to do this via an encrypted conversation. And as a result, they loaded up Emerald and away we went.
And is that, you're talking about voice and text or just text? Or
primarily for text. Obviously, voice is a different animal. But just having a method to easily share information that you know is going to stay private, I think it's a huge feature plus for any client that has that feature enabled.
Can I say something?
Sure, of course.
Yes, with regard to Emerald and the encrypted chat, with most of your IM communications, using encryption is just about standard this day and age. I was talking to one of the Emerald developers regarding potentially encrypting voice and, like, say, hooking in Skype, because I know your Vivox is proprietary. So I'm definitely not against encrypted chat. I think it's a great idea. I'm not against, well, I've used Emerald, and there's a lot of things, I think, as far as the various viewers, it stands above most of the viewers that I've tried out. There are certain things that cause me concern. One of them is the ability for people to, you know, to mark profiles that show whether a person's online, that, you know, have an online indicator, even if you're not in their friends list, and I'm concerned about the privacy issue there. I'm concerned about uploading content that is not owned by the, that is not created by the person uploading it. Those are the two primary concerns that I have. All the other things, I love temporary textures. Even though I can go to Aditi and upload stuff to try out my builds, it's just so much easier to do it in World, especially when my builds are going to be also prims, which I can't. You know, that means I have to go reconstruct them on the main grid if I after I've done the test. So.
Thank you, Angela. Are those the big ones for you?
The big one for me, and that has been the issue of uploading content that wasn't made by the individual that's uploading it. That's been, I would say, probably the big sticking point for me and why I presently do not use Emerald. And the less big one, though, I think it is a serious one, and I think Linden Lab needs to address this from the server side, has to do with issues of, say, being able to see someone online that has either unchecked you, you're on their friends list, but they want some privacy, so they uncheck you, or they have the only friends in my friends list can see me online, and I just have a real problem with that. But I see that as more server side, but I'd like to see the viewers actually abide by the premise that people want privacy. So that's kind of a less sticking thing. So I'd say the big one is the content creatorship. And I'd really like to see Linden Lab come out with a firm statement with regard to how they feel about that, as opposed to, it'd be nice if you would.
Angela, could you say that last bit? I missed the part, what you wanted us to make a firm statement on, and I apologize for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My throat, I've had a cold. It would be nice to see you come out with a firm statement with regard to where you stand regarding uploading content that you did not create.
Could you pass that over to Marvin for later? We can save that for the Q&A.
Yeah, I've given him the list already.
Cool.
So.
Thanks.
Okay, no problem.
Someone else peeked in there. Thanks, Angela. Rebel, was that you?
Yeah, it was me. I just, you know, I heard a tidbit about that, being able to upload content. I don't understand that. If maybe somebody could elaborate on that for me.
Do you mean? I'm not sure.
Somebody using Emerald Viewer, they can upload content from Second Life.
Okay. I can explain it. Okay, basically what happens is Emerald has an export and import feature. The export feature retains everything about the data, all the metadata about the particular content. And it does have a flag to check to see if you are not only the owner, but if you have full permissions of all the items that you wish to download or to export from Second Life. It checks that you're the owner as opposed to being the creator. When you upload, let's say you go to, you have a chair that you have full perms on, but you didn't actually create the chair. So you can export that chair. When you go to import that chair, what will happen, based on the way the server model is designed, that chair comes back in World, and now it has you as the creator as opposed to the person who originally created it. In other words, it does not retain the creator signature. So, and my concern is that by allowing this type of thing, you end up, without speaking it, saying that it's okay to take somebody's content that they created and now slap my name on it, when in the rest of the free world it's not considered appropriate. We, you know, it's plagiarism for written content and, you know, stealing for other stuff. So my concern is that this very easy thing gives the message to people who think that, oh, full perms means I can pretty much do whatever I want with, that it really kind of supports that and gives people that message. So that's the area that I would say that I've been very, very strongly outspoken about. The Emerald team can probably verify that, with regard to the content, and it's the main area, my main sticking point as far as that viewer. Does that
Emerald
help?
Users can
it?
Now... Emerald users can now do that? It's functioning?
Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
I'm like,
it's been functioning since June.
I'm not
Thanks
you
for
know, real
explaining
thrilled
that,
to hear that.
Well, and that's part of the reason why...
There's a lot of residents out there that don't even realize that it's not okay to take something. You know, they might be new, they may be from another country, don't speak English, whatever. And it's okay for them just to take something that I've made and make it their own. That's not okay.
Yeah, I don't want to delve too much into what they have that we're super not keen on. I would love to keep us focused on this right now, and then we can go back on Q&A. Are there any other features that you do or do not like, you can't live without, that you really like? If not, I can jump to the next question.
I love the radar. Simoid radar is very nice.
Cool. Anyone else? I heard there are some people here I haven't heard from. I'll skip to the next question I have is sort of switching gears, and it plays very well off what we were just talking about is what kind of things, thinking more about the registry and the idea of a place where you can go to find out more about a third-party viewer, what sort of things do you want to know about viewers if you're looking at looking for a new one? What kind of things do you want to know about the viewer itself or the people who made it?
I would want to know if the source is viewable and available for one. And that way you can check for yourself if there's any kind of chat log or anything like that.
Thanks, Jessica. Thanks, Tenchi. Tenchi says she made it what general opinion is on the viewer, what the differentiating features are.
For the record as well, purpose. Valiant says the purpose, industry expertise, and source availability.
Anything else you would want to know about? What about the viewer itself?
May I?
A rating system would be nice.
Go for it.
I think it would be great to voluntarily have a feature matrix, not that we want necessarily a heads-down, you know, feature bloat competition, but I envision a time in the near future where different clients are developed specifically to support different vertical markets and functions, and it would be great to be able to take a look at all of the viewers and identify if there was a particular market that they were targeted at, and then look at a feature comparison to see, you know, what features might be in a particular client that would benefit somebody who is interested in, you know, whatever that vertical market is.
Thanks. Valiant, I had just a follow-up. What do you mean by industry experience?
It ties to the comment that I just made. I would be interested, for instance, if there is a vertical client that's specifically designed for the medical field in a particular area, to train people in a particular area of medicine. It would be great to know that the people who were developing that had a background, had deep subject matter expertise in that area. And that kind of ties in with my vision that developers of future clients may also be solution providers themselves and focus on particular verticals.
Cool. Thank you. Chris says, I would like the registry to be as low inertia as possible so that it is current and not full of outdated info. So I want as little as possible in the registry. Bad outdated info is worse than none. Anybody else have what they'd be looking for? Rebel, you mentioned earlier that you hadn't used Emerald, but you did trust them, and I wondered, that was really interesting to me, and I wondered how you came to, what things would have helped you make that judgment without friends using it?
Well, I didn't completely understand that you were able to upload content made by somebody else. That really bugs me. But I think that would, you know, I'm all about theft here today because it's happened so much to me lately. So I think that would be one of my biggest questions in a new viewer coming into Second Life. How is that viewer going to protect me as a content creator and all of us as content creators? That would be a huge question for me. You know, would I want that in Second Life?
Thanks, Rebel. Anyone else?
Could I actually just make a comment regarding import-export?
Sure.
The main issue most people have is that, of course, the import-export only works with full perm objects. But I do understand the argument that it allows somebody to make themselves the creator. There used to be an exploit, and luckily it's been fixed a while back, that allowed you to change the creator's name on an object. Now, the exploit was fixed, but I wonder if it would be possible, rather than eliminating import-export, I wonder if it would be possible to modify that exploit to allow an object that was exported, say it owned, it belonged to Angela, for example, as a creator, and she exported it and imported it, that it could re-import it under her name as the creator. That would be something only Dev could answer. I mean, it was a bad exploit, but on one hand, but on the other hand, it could be used for good as well if it was managed.
Hey guys, we have about a half an hour left. Jessica, did you have any other follow-up questions?
That was the big one. As long as everybody had the chance to say their piece, anything else you'd want to know about a viewer? Okay, then the questions.
Okay, we've got a slew of them. We'll start with this one. Outside of your posted terms of service, will you be providing these developers who wish to register with your program a list of regulations?
Yes. When we launch this, it will come with a set of guidelines for what a viewer needs to do and not do in order to be included in the registry, and some FAQs. So the answer to that question is yes, it will be in addition to what's in the terms of service. And the goal of this, just so we're clear, Jessica's already said it, is to give as much information as you guys want, that we can give, about the various third-party viewers that are available so that you can make a good choice when you choose to use one. And to allow the developers of those to start to build up reputation about the kinds of functionality that they include and don't include in the viewers that they release.
Marty, we had a quick follow-up with that as well. Will you be employing a similar policy for third-party developers, i.e. your content sellers program?
Okay. Yes. We're probably likely to call this, instead of the viewer registry, the developer registry, but then we're also planning in as soon as we can get it launched, a seller registry for people who for people who sell content in Second Life to register to represent that they don't sell infringing content and make what other kinds of representations we decide as a community that we'd like to see them make, so that they can start to build up reputation along the same lines as we're talking about for this developer viewer.
Tenshi, is your question in follow-up to the previous one? She asks, are you going to demand that they give you real-life info back that registration up?
We haven't decided, but yes, probably.
Okay, we can move on to a next question. What is your stance with regards to features that violate an easy access path for violating people's privacy?
Well, if it's violating community standards, then it would be a violation of the terms of service. I mean, without talking about the specifics, I don't know exactly what you mean. If there's functionality in a viewer that allows a third party to capture your sign-on information or any other personal information, then that would be a violation, and certainly that would a viewer couldn't be in the registry if it included code that does that. Do you mean something more by violating people's privacy than that?
Who asked that question?
And she did.
Any other info, Tenshi, or?
Well, actually, I asked that question. And it's just has to do with displaying online and offline, your online-offline indicator as a default. So if you do a search for somebody in your search and pull up their profile, it has an online indicator that grossly violates people's privacy who aren't on your friends list. That's the example that I gave with the question.
May I comment on that?
Sure, go ahead.
There's freebie scripts available all over the place that allow you to simply type in somebody's name and it pulls up their online status. And it works with Linden's as well. If it were to be forced to be pulled out of the viewer, then Linden Lab should also have to prevent that from working script-wise.
I absolutely and completely agree and have spoken to them on several occasions about that. And I'm aware of the freebie scripts. As a scripter, I even know how to write them.
Yes, it's a very simple script.
Thing is, it does no good to have the check and don't let anybody see my online status. That's just kind of a meaningless check if anybody can basically get a script, or if you have the viewer that the viewer takes it another step further. I can go and maybe search for a script, or if I'm a scripter, I can write it. Whereas if the viewer has it as a default, where when I pull up somebody's profile, it shows an online indicator that is not the same as having to go find a script or writing one myself. So it brings it to another level, and that's my concern.
And just so we're clear, the privacy implication is that it allows people whom you may not want to know whether you're in Second Life to know that you're in Second Life, correct?
Yeah, like stalkers, you know. If you have somebody who's just harassing you, you need to be able to go in, not have them, you can mute them or whatever, but basically not have them find you. And I know that I have this concern because when I first came in, I encountered somebody who was an ex-con. And every time I would come on, he would start IMing me, and I asked how he knew that I was online because I had it checked only friends. And he said, oh, there's ways. And of course, I did some investigation and found out that there were scripts that did that. And of course, since I know how to script now, I could write it. So I have brought this up with Linden Lab. I think it's really it's going to be a problem as this place grows. I think it needs to be tied down at the server. I absolutely agree with Jessica that it needs to be tied down at the server, but until that point, And in my mind, a viewer that automatically shows a person's online status goes far above and beyond somebody who actively goes and looks for, you know, a script or writes their own. This gives it to the wide range of people who use that, and I think that that's a real problem.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. We can move on to the next question. The hot issue seems to be content theft. Why are we focusing on clients rather than examining databases for illegal copies?
Will you say that one again? I'm not sure I understand the question.
The question was, the hot issue seems to be content theft. Why are we focusing on clients rather than examining our database for illegal copies? So I believe what he's asking, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You're asking, why aren't we examining our database for stolen content rather than focusing on the individuals who have stolen it? Is that about correct? Oh, apparently not. Could you explain a bit more? He writes, why focus on clients? The problem is, for example, I make a texture. LGG steals my texture and sells it. He never would. Your database now has my texture with his name as the creator. If I had registered my texture first, you could find all illegal copies of it.
Well, I think I've got enough of the gist of the question to respond, and you're getting at the complication. Yeah. So we send it a blog post back in the summer called Our Content Management Roadmap, and one of the paragraphs in that talked about tools that we're developing to aid in our takedown process, because as most of you know, right now it's a very manual process, and if you aren't able to tell us where a potentially infringing object is and we can't find it, we can't do anything about it. So, and we don't have the staff to go and do, look at, well, nobody, it's not possible to go and look at every place where it might exist in world, especially because many of them are ephemeral and may not be there when we go to look. So you're right that it should be possible to do something in the database, but we are working on tools to do that, and it is one of the highest priorities in the company right now. But we aren't ready to launch them yet, and because of the many ways that content can come in and out of Second Life, you can't just say we're going to take it all down by content creator or even by asset ID. So the tools are very sophisticated. It's one of the hardest projects we've ever taken on, and we are working on it as quickly as we can. And I know that probably is an unsatisfying answer, but I tell you, this is one of our top priorities. And we are going to to do our best to launch something in Q4, at least partially. We're not going to have the full suite of tools that we're working on ready by then, but we are trying to get the thing launched as quickly as possible.
Okay, we can move on to the next question, but as a time check, we have about 20 minutes left. So the next question was, is one of the purposes of the registry to advertise third-party viewers?
I'd consider the term shine light on a preferable one. I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work here, and anything that we can do to help people make good choices and make it more discoverable. If that's advertising, that's advertising. But I think shining light on good work that residents are doing has long been one of Lyndon's priorities as well.
Okay, we have another question. My question would be about licensing. Is correct licensing a mandatory requirement to be added to the registry?
And by licensing, do you mean compliance with the GPL, or do you mean something else? I mean, the answer to the question is yes, but I'd like to know exactly what licensing you're talking about.
Yes, that's what he means, Marty. GPL
so,
compliance.
Yes, it is.
We have a question. What's the best way to make this easier for you guys, Lyndons? What can residents do to help you?
Well, you're doing it by coming to this brown bag to help us. None of us has done this before, and as we said in the blog post where we announced it, we are feeling our way along, and when we launch it, it won't be as good as it will be 6 months later, because we're going to learn, hopefully, and make it better over time. But the thing you can do is tell us when you see things that you think aren't right, because your feedback really does help us. That's my opinion about what you can do. There may be others.
Yeah. I think also, to Marty's point, we'll be looking for feedback after we launch the initial version of the registry, and we will be hopefully able to iterate on it as we go along. So really looking for feedback now, and then even more so when we launch it, to what's missing, what do you wish was there, what's not working, what is working, so that the ongoing, completing that feedback loop.
Some of you participated in the forum discussion as well after the blog, and it did expand to be a quite lengthy one, but I did go through all of the pages and all of the comments, and all of the feedback in there was tremendously helpful. That's just one small way of participating, and it's a good way to get those who don't normally participate involved as well.
Yeah, we'll keep listening as long as you guys keep talking, so... Keep talking.
Okay, we have another question. What is the lab's position on extensions to the clients that themselves are open source, but draw upon third-party server functions that are proprietary?
That's also a hard question to answer in a vacuum. And without getting into the vagaries of the GPL, which I am certainly not an expert on, can you give me an example of what third-party server functions?
Sure, if I may. If we were to extend the viewer and build into that viewer, for instance, calls to data that existed on a third-party server, as well as existed or was mirrored locally in the client, that allowed for interaction with in-world functions. The idea there is that there would be a for-profit motive. The functions within the viewer itself would be available to anybody complying with license, but those functions would be useless for anybody who was not subscribed to the server-side component that supported them.
Rather than give a wrong or incomplete answer, I'm going to say I really don't know the answer. I think you're probably going to have to consult with your own lawyer, or whoever was doing such a development project would need to consult with the lawyer about whether that could possibly comply with the GPL. And I'll retreat to my earlier answer, which is compliance with the GPL is definitely going to be a requirement to be in the registry.
Great. Thanks, Marty. Next question. How will Linden Lab verify that a viewer is good? And if a viewer is on the registry, can it be removed if it becomes bad later? How will Linden Lab know if it has become bad? Keep in mind that users could often make false accusations to try to get a good viewer removed as a form of griefing.
Okay, let me take those in the order. How will we verify that a viewer is good? We are going to have some kind of a vetting process for the viewers that get in the registry. And we're working out how we're going to do that, because it is going to be a continuing piece of work for somebody. If it's on the registry, can it be removed if it becomes bad later? Well, if by bad you mean doesn't comply with the requirements to be in the registry in the first place, then yes, it will be removed. And we'll know hopefully someone will help us by telling us that it's bad if we don't figure it out first. But as to whether or not somebody would make a false accusation about a viewer, if they did, hopefully our process would be thorough enough to be able to figure that out. So in response to the question earlier about what can you do to help us, that's one thing you can do to help us, is tell us when you see things that don't comply with the guidelines.
I think you should implement some sort of program that if someone files a false complaint, that they get some sort of consequence as well. That would reduce the amount of false complaints, I think.
Okay. Thanks for that suggestion. We'll take that along with the rest. And I mean, one of the problems is determining intent, because somebody might actually think that it really is a legitimate claim. But again, that'll be something that we have to figure out how to do in an accurate and timely way.
Great. Thanks, Marty. Moving on to the next question. How will this affect third-party viewers that are not distributed, as in used only as a private viewer?
I didn't know there are any, but if there are, I guess, well, I don't know. We hadn't thought about that. If you've created a viewer for your own use, and you're the only person who's using it, and you're not using it to violate the terms of service, then okay.
Would I be forced then to register my viewer?
No.
Or would it be better for me to register it?
I don't know the answer to that question. If at some point we decide that only viewers that are registered can be used to access Second Life, then yes, it would be good for you to register it if you wanted to use it. But we haven't made that decision.
Thank you.
Marty, how about viewers that act as a bot registry? Or that can double as bot programs. Would that sort of be in the same function, same field?
I don't know the answer to that one either. I mean,
go ahead, Valiant.
I think it may be helpful to talk about, I mean, we've been talking about viewers, but it may be helpful to have a registered client nomenclature used rather than a registered viewer. And that then encompasses bots as well, which are simply another form of client.
Yeah, it seems to me, and Marty, you can correct me, it would be treated the same. They would be held to the same requirements to be listed.
Yes.
Blondin, are there any more questions?
Not in the queue. Does anybody have any follow-up questions? Anything further? We have about 10 minutes left.
I do.
Go for it.
Okay, so the registry, I would imagine you would have somebody having to go through the source code on the viewers that are submitted for the registry, looking for, you know, exploits that are taken advantage of, things like that. What would stop someone from sending you the source code of, say, their viewer with no exploits, but actually using a different compiled version of that source code for exploits? In other words, a person could very easily make two versions of their source code and submit to you one version, yet use another.
Well, if we found out about it, they certainly wouldn't be in the registry anymore. And it would depend
on
what...
Well, that's my question is, how would you be able to find out, or have you figured about that out yet?
We haven't figured that out yet.
Okay, we have a question. I'm curious where the Linden's vetting will draw the line on content import and export.
Well, that will be in the establishment of the guidelines. So what we've said in the past is you can't export things that you aren't the creator of and use functionality in one of these viewers or elsewhere to do an end run around the permission system. So you can bet that that will be in the guidelines. But people with intent are going to do whatever their skill level allows them to do, and we're going to do our best to make it hard, but I can't tell you that anything we do is going to be 100% effective. And I think you all know that. So what we want to do is what I said a few minutes ago is allow people to build up reputation in the world as being respectful of third-party intellectual property rights, and that over time the permission system will grow to be more robust, and you'll be able to tell by looking whether somebody's stolen content, but we aren't there yet. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that's as far as we've gotten.
I'm just curious, before you draw the line and say that you must preserve the creator integrity, can you at least provide creators a way to preserve the creator integrity? Because right now we have nothing except the name is what you uploaded as. We can do everything I can to keep contact the same, but you don't provide us any methods to.
And that goes to what I was saying earlier. I think that's a question possibly only Soft could actually answer.
I'm of the contention that they will have to modify something on the server side to do that. And until then it is up to the client developers to abide by the spirit and not download things that they didn't create and not upload things that they didn't create. And if I heard Marty correctly, that sounds exactly what they're saying, but he can correct me.
No, that's right. I mean, the permission system is limited by what you know it's limited to. And a more robust licensing scheme hopefully will be in our future, but we don't have it now. So that's really what you're asking me, isn't it?
Well, that, except I would think that your permission system change should happen before you put restrictions on what a client can do. Else it's just not even feasible, because there are many times when breaking the creator name is absolutely necessary. And so before you restrict that completely, you should allow a way to do it legally as well.
Okay, we have about 5 minutes, so we're going to probably start wrapping it up. Were there any final comments, concerns, questions that anybody wanted to ask? Going once, going twice. All right, and sold. Okay. Well, then we'll probably start wrapping up and call it a night. Thank you, everyone, for coming and providing such awesome feedback. The plan for now, the next steps, Troy and I will probably try and get the audio posted up on the wiki as quickly as possible. I'll post it onto the original blog so that everybody can find it. But other than that, I think we can call it a night.
And I just wanted to thank everybody again.
Thank you for inviting.
Thanks for coming.